In this gripping episode of Shadows of Mystery, we unravel the enduring puzzle of the Somerton Man, one of Australia's most baffling cold cases. Found lifeless on Somerton Beach in 1948, this unknown man carried no ID, leaving behind cryptic clues that have stumped investigators for decades. Was he a Soviet spy, a heartbroken lover, or someone living under an assumed identity? Join us as we explore the twists, theories, and breakthroughs, including the recent identification of the man believed to be Carl Webb. This is a story shrouded in intrigue, secrets, and an enduring search for the truth. You won't want to miss it. On the warm evening of November 30th, 1948, around 7 p.m., jeweler John Bain Lyons and his wife took a stroll along Somerton Beach, a seaside resort just south of Adelaide, South Australia's capital. As they walked toward the suburb of Glenelg, they noticed a sharply dressed man, later known as the Somerton Man, lying on the sand with his head propped against a seawall. The man was about 60 feet away, legs outstretched and feet crossed. At one point, he raised his right arm as if to smoke a cigarette, only to let it fall back to the ground, a gesture that seemed careless or possibly drunken. About 30 minutes later, another couple spotted the same man in the same position. From their vantage point above, they noted his unusual attire for a beach visit, a neatly pressed suit and freshly polished shoes. Unmoving, his left arm lay splayed in the sand, while his face was surrounded by mosquitoes. Assuming he was simply asleep, the boyfriend quipped that he must be dead to the world, not to notice the persistent insects. By the next morning, it became clear the man wasn't just dead to the world. He was actually dead. Shortly after 6:30 a.m. on December 1st, John Lyons, returning from a swim, saw a small crowd gathered near the seawall. Investigating further, he recognized the same man from the previous night, still slumped in the same position with his head resting against the seawall and feet crossed. The body was now cold, with no apparent signs of violence. A half-smoked cigarette lay on his collar, as though it had slipped from his lips. As investigators delved into the mystery of the Somerton Man's death, they were met with countless challenges. He carried no identification, and a cryptic message found in his pocket deepened the enigma. Over the decades, speculation about his identity ran rampant. Was he a spurned lover who poisoned himself? A ballet dancer with unusually developed calves? Or perhaps a Soviet spy? In 2022, researchers made headlines by announcing they had identified the Somerton Man as Carl Webb, a Melbourne-based electrical engineer who often went by the name Charles. The breakthrough came from DNA extracted from hairs embedded in the Somerton Man's death mask, but not everyone was convinced. Despite the research team's confidence, South Australia police remained cautiously optimistic, noting that definitive confirmation would require additional DNA testing from the Somerton Man's remains, which were exhumed in 2021. As we await official confirmation, the case of the Somerton Man remains one of history's most perplexing mysteries. Here's everything you need to know about his story and the ongoing investigation into his enigmatic death. Examining the Somerton Man's remains. The Somerton Man's body arrived at the Royal Adelaide Hospital 3 hours after it was found. Medical examiners estimated his death occurred after 2 a.m., likely from heart failure, possibly involving poison. His pockets held ordinary items, travel tickets, chewing gum, matches, two combs, and an Army Club cigarette pack with more expensive Kensita cigarettes. He had no wallet, cash, or ID. Strangely, his clothing had no name tags, and nearly all the maker's labels were carefully removed. One pocket had been repaired with an unusual orange thread. The postmortem offered few answers. His pupils were unusually small, spittle had run down his mouth, and his spleen was 3 times its normal size. His liver was swollen with congested blood, and his stomach contained remnants of a pasty, along with an unusual amount of blood. This suggested poisoning, though no toxins were found in the meal. The man's behavior on the beach, slumped in a suit, raising and lowering his arm, seemed more like the effects of a slow-acting substance than drunkenness. However, repeated tests on his blood and organs found no poison. "I was astounded that he found nothing," said pathologist John Dwyer during the 1949 inquest. No definitive cause of death was determined. The body had striking features. Despite being in his late 40s, his calf muscles were unusually high and well-developed, like an athlete's. His toes were wedge-shaped, another detail that deepened the mystery of the Somerton man. I have not seen the tendency of his calf muscles so pronounced in others as in this case. His feet were rather striking features, suggesting, this is my own assumption, that he had been in the habit of wearing high-heeled and pointed shoes. Perhaps, one expert speculated, the deceased man might have been a ballet dancer. Adelaide's coroner, Thomas Cleland, faced a mystery. Pharmacologist Cedric Stanton Hicks suggested the cause was a rare poison that decomposed early after death, leaving no trace. Hicks deemed it so deadly he refused to name it in court, instead handing the coroner a note with two possibilities, digitalis and strophanthin. He believed it was strophanthin, a rare toxin from African plant seeds once used to poison arrows. Authorities pressed on. Fingerprints were taken and shared across Australia and beyond, but no matches were found. The mystery, it seemed, was only deepening. The mysteries of the Somerton man's belongings. By January 1949, South Australia police had nearly exhausted every lead in the mysterious case. With no breakthroughs, the search expanded to include abandoned belongings, like luggage that might suggest the man had arrived from another state. Detectives combed through hotels, dry cleaners, lost property offices, and railway stations. Their efforts finally paid off. On January 14th, staff at Adelaide's main railway station handed over a brown suitcase left in the cloakroom on November 30th. Unfortunately, they could not recall who had dropped it off. The suitcase's contents offered few clues, though it did contain orange thread identical to that used to repair the dead man's pocket. Someone had clearly tried to erase the owner's identity. There were no stickers or markings, and a label on the suitcase had been torn off. Most tags were removed from the items inside, except for three pieces of clothing with the names Keen, Keen, and T. Keen. The contents of the suitcase were just as puzzling. Inside were a stencil kit, like those used by merchant ship officers for labeling cargo, a table knife with a shortened handle, and a coat stitched in an unusual feather pattern. A tailor identified the stitching as American, suggesting the coat, and perhaps its owner, had traveled abroad during World War II. Despite searching shipping and immigration records, no useful leads emerged. The police brought in John Cleland, a retired pathologist, to re-examine the body and belongings. In April, 4 months after the body was found, Cleland uncovered one of the most baffling clues yet. Hidden in the waistband of the trousers was a small pocket, likely meant for a fob watch that previous examiners had missed. Inside was a tiny, tightly rolled scrap of paper. When unrolled, it revealed two words in elaborate script, Tamam Shud. On the surface, this clue suggested that the man may have died by suicide, and the South Australia police never upgraded their missing person case to a full-blown murder investigation. But the discovery of the scrap brought them no closer to identifying him, and in the meantime, the body had started to decompose. Preparations were made for burial, though the police, aware of the importance of preserving evidence, first had the corpse embalmed and a cast made of the head and upper torso. The body was then buried under concrete in a dry plot chosen specifically in case exhumation was needed. In the years that followed, flowers were occasionally left on the grave, but no one could figure out who placed them there or why. Tamam Shud and the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam. 8 months into the investigation, the search for the right Rubaiyat finally paid off. On July 23, 1949, a Glenelg man using the pseudonym Ronald Francis walked into the Adelaide detective office with a copy of the book and an unusual story. In December 1948, shortly after the Somerton man's body was found, he had gone for a drive with his brother-in-law in a car parked near Somerton Beach. Francis noticed a copy of the Rubaiyat on the floor by the rear seats. Assuming it belonged to his brother-in-law, he mentioned it, but the man said he'd simply found it in the unlocked car. Francis then saw the final page was torn out. Police thought they had solved the case, linking the book to Boxall in Maroubra, New South Wales, and suspecting he was the Somerton man. But there was a problem. Boxall was alive and still had the Rubaiyat Jeston had given him, intact and unaltered. This meant the scrap of paper in the dead man's pocket came from somewhere else. Thompson later said neighbors told her a man had called asking for her while she was out. When shown the Somerton man's facial cast, she appeared shocked and nearly fainted, according to retired Detective G.M. Feltus in The Unknown Man, A Suspicious Death at Somerton Beach. Despite seeming to recognize him, she strongly denied knowing who he was. The Somerton Man code. That left the faint impression Lean had noticed in the Glenelg Rubaiyat. Under ultraviolet light, five lines of jumbled letters appeared, with the second crossed out. The first three were separated from the last two by two straight lines marked with an X. The message seemed to be a code. Breaking a code from such a small fragment is extremely difficult, but the police tried. They sent it to Naval Intelligence, Australia's top cipher experts, and published it in the press. This sparked a frenzy of amateur code breaking, mostly useless, and a conclusion from Naval Intelligence that the code was unbreakable. From the manner in which the lines have been represented as being set out in the original, it is evident that the end of each line indicates a break in sense. There is an insufficient number of letters for definite conclusions to be based on analysis, but the indications, together with the acceptance of the above breaks in sense, indicate, insofar as can be seen, that the letters do not constitute any kind of simple cipher or code. A reasonable explanation would be that the lines are the initial letters of words of a verse of poetry or such like. And there, for all intents and purposes, the mystery rested for decades. As the South Australia coroner wrote in a 1958 report on the final results of his investigation, "I am unable to say who the deceased was. I am unable to say how he died or what was the cause of death." Theories surrounding the Somerton Man. The mystery of the Somerton Man continues to fascinate, showcasing the power of persistence and discovery. Theories about his identity and death range from being a black market smuggler or sailor to a displaced refugee. Some suggest he had ties to nurse Jessica Thompson, speculating he may have fathered her son, Robin, who resembled him. Robin, born in 1947, became a professional ballet dancer, a testament to human resilience and potential. In 2022, University of Adelaide researcher Derek Abbott identified the Somerton Man as Carl Webb. His investigation led him to Robin's daughter, Rachel Egan, in a twist that became a love story. Egan jokingly told the Australian Broadcasting Company in 2019, "People have said that possibly Derek married me for my DNA, and I think there is some truth to that." Although the 2022 findings show Egan has no genetic link to the Somerton Man, their story highlights the unexpected connections sparked by curiosity and dedication. Other theories center on the coded message found with the man, his lack of ID, and possible poisoning, suggesting he may have been a Cold War spy. The case unfolded in 1948, during the tense post-war era of shifting alliances. Whether spy or not, this theory adds to the complexity of his story and the drive to understand even the most puzzling mysteries. The Somerton Man's story reflects the human drive for answers and connection, proving that even the toughest searches for knowledge can lead to profound discoveries about the world and ourselves. Is Carl Webb the Somerton Man? If the DNA analyzed by Abbott and forensic genealogist Colleen Fitzpatrick does belong to the Somerton Man, it challenges long-held theories and opens new doors of understanding. Through careful work, Abbott and Fitzpatrick searched DNA databases, building a 4,000-person family tree to uncover the truth. Among the names, Carl Webb, a 1905-born engineer, emerged as the most likely match. In this vast ocean of DNA connections, we identified one link to Carl's father and another to his mother, Fitzpatrick told the New York Times in 2022. From there, we narrowed it down to Carl, the only sibling with no documented death. This breakthrough showcases the power of persistence and scientific curiosity in solving mysteries once thought unsolvable. "It's possible Webb went to South Australia looking for her," Abbott told CNN in 2022. "While we can't say for sure, it feels like a logical connection." This story reflects humanity's resilience and the power of science to uncover the past. By piecing together history, we gain both answers and a deeper understanding of those who came before us. Nearly 3 years later, state authorities have provided no updates, but determined individuals continue to seek answers. Webb's story has sparked curiosity and inspired online communities to dig deeper into his history. For Webb's surviving family, the journey has brought mixed emotions. Christy Webb, his great-great-niece, reflected to the ABC in November 2022. It was happiness, it was joy, but there was also sadness about this forgotten family member. This was someone who mattered, not just an unsolved mystery or fleeting media story. He was our family. This story highlights the importance of connection and the power of seeking understanding, even in uncertainty. It's about rediscovering and honoring the humanity behind the mystery, a reminder that every story matters. Mystery solved. A South Australian academic claims to have solved one of Australia's most enduring mysteries by identifying the Somerton Man as a 43-year-old electrical engineer from Melbourne. If confirmed, this breakthrough could finally bring closure to a case that has puzzled the nation for 73 years. In 1948, the body of a well-dressed man was discovered slumped against a seawall on Somerton Beach, just south of Adelaide. Despite extensive investigations, his identity remained unknown, fueling decades of speculation involving jilted lovers, espionage, and Cold War intrigue. Authorities were left with only a handful of cryptic clues: a jacket and tie with the tags removed, unused train and bus tickets, and a small scrap of paper bearing the words "Tamam Shud," Persian for "finished." With no one stepping forward to claim him, the enigma of the Somerton Man lingered until now. Remains of mystery. Somerton Man exhumed 70 years after his death. The mystery of the Somerton Man, whose body was found on an Adelaide beach on December 1, 1948, may finally be solved. At the time, the doctor conducting the autopsy suspected heart failure caused by poisoning, with the coroner leaving the possibility of murder open. Now, after decades of speculation, Professor Derek Abbott from the University of Adelaide believes the man has been identified as Carl Charles Webb, a 43-year-old electrical engineer from Melbourne. However, South Australian police have not released an official statement or updates on their investigation following the exhumation of the man's body last year. The coroner will need to confirm Webb's identity. Abbott's discovery, made with American genealogist Colleen Fitzpatrick, used DNA from hairs preserved in a plaster cast of the man's face. They built a detailed family tree, identifying a DNA match described as a DNA cousin to the Somerton Man. Expanding the tree to include around 4,000 individuals, they eventually connected it to Webb, who had no registered death record. Born in 1905, Webb likely traveled to Adelaide after separating from his wife, who had moved to South Australia. "It's possible he was trying to find her," Abbott said. Fitzpatrick called the case one of the most fascinating in Australia's history and noted that while identifying Webb is a major milestone, understanding the circumstances of his death could take years. "This is an incredible mystery to solve," she said. To learn Webb was an Australian from Victoria who went unnoticed as missing or unclaimed is, for Billsborough, profoundly tragic. "It's heartbreaking that no one seemed to follow up with police about him," she added. This revelation also challenges a key theory in Billsborough's documentary that Australian ballet dancer Robin Thompson was the Somerton Man's son. This theory stemmed from a Persian phrase meaning "finished," found on a scrap of paper in the man's pocket. It was traced to the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam, a Persian poetry book central to the case's intrigue. At one point, the police asked the public whether anyone had a copy of the book with the last page missing. A man came forward with exactly that, a copy of the Rubaiyat with its final page torn out. He claimed it was thrown into his car around the time of the incident. This copy also featured strange writing on the back cover, believed by some to be a coded message. During the Cold War, this cryptic writing fueled theories that the Somerton Man was a Russian spy. Derek Abbott attempted to contact the Thompson family as part of his research, but both Joe Thompson and her son, Robin Thompson, had passed away. Abbott found evidence of a biological link between Robin and the Somerton Man, citing shared rare dental traits, ear structures, and muscular calves, features that helped Robin become a professional dancer. Fitzpatrick has revealed that DNA evidence disproves any genetic link between the Somerton Man and Robin Thompson, which also rules out a connection to Abbott's wife, Rachel Egan. Rachel, Robin Thompson's daughter, met Abbott during his investigation. Reflecting on the discovery of the Somerton man's name, Charles Webb, Billsborough said, "Now that we've identified him, there are even more questions. Who was he? What was he doing here? Was there a connection to Joe, the nurse? Was it suicide?" Billsborough leans toward the suicide theory, noting that the Rubaiyat was sometimes called a suicide handbook. Despite no living witnesses who might remember Webb, she hopes to find answers in archived records. "I've already started searching Trove to see if Charles Webb is mentioned in old newspapers," she said. "I'm piecing together a paper trail to understand who he was or might have been." She suggested this case could inspire a sequel to the mystery. It's no longer "Who is the Somerton Man?" but now "The Mysterious Case of Charles Webb." Thank you for following this fascinating story. If you enjoyed uncovering the mystery with us, consider subscribing for more intriguing cases and discoveries. Your support means a lot.